This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al Awlaqi, Imam of Dar Al Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. We'll move on to the next subject, and we're going to talk about some of the glad tidings of the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the glad tidings that came before his prophethood. This hadith, which is mentioned by Ibn Ishaq, he says, the one who is stating this hadith is Salam bin Waqsh. He said, we had a Jewish neighbor from Banu Abd al-Ashhal, and he came out of his house one day to us. At that time, I was the youngest of my household. I was wearing a fur gown I had, and was lying in it in the courtyard of my family's house. The Jew talked about the resurrection, the day of judgment, the reckoning, the scales, paradise, and hellfire. This he told to polytheists, idolaters, who did not believe in any life after death. They replied, come on, now you really think people can be sent after their death to some place where there is a paradise and a fire where they will be punished for their deeds? Yes, indeed, he replied, and by him by whom oaths are sworn, anyone going into that fire would prefer being placed in the hottest oven in the house and having it covered over him, and he being let out of it only next day. Then they said, good gracious, but what proof is there? They asked. He said, a prophet is being sent from the hereabouts in these lands. And he gestured over towards Mecca and Yemen. When will we see him? They inquired. He looked over at me, I being the youngest one there, and he said, if this lad lives a normal lifespan, he'll live to this time. Salama said, and a day and a night had scarcely passed thereafter until God sent the Messenger of Allah who lived among us, and so we believed in him. But he, the Jew, disbelieved in him out of evil and envy. So this Jewish man who was studied, he learned from his books, learned from the old scripture, that there is a prophet who will be sent from the direction of Mecca, and that there is hellfire and paradise. And he knew that the time was approaching and it was very near. However, when the Prophet was sent, this man refused to follow him out of envy. And there are many narrations similar to this of Jews knowing that the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has approached. In fact, the Jews who were in Medina, as we mentioned, were there because they were expecting the Prophet. And that's the whole reason behind them settling in Medina. And they used to tell the Arabs of Medina, Al-Aws al-Khazraj, they used to tell them whenever they would have a dispute, that one day there is going to be a prophet sent among us, and when that happens, we're going to kill you like the people of Ad were killed. And subhanAllah, that was a preparation for Al-Aws al-Khazraj. Because Al-Aws al-Khazraj used to hear this from the Jews, they were aware, unlike the other Arabs, they were aware that a prophet is coming. So when they met Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, they immediately believed, because they knew that this was the person the Jews were talking about. In fact, what they said in that meeting, when they met with Rasulullah ﷺ on the first day, they went back to their tents and they said, "This is the man the Jews have been threatening us with. Let's follow him first. Let's be the first to follow him. Let's not let the Jews beat us to him." So they were in fact in a hurry to believe, because they wanted to be the first. But then al-Yahud refused to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll talk about some of the glad tidings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the present day Bible. Obviously there's an ongoing, the Bible went through series of development and changes. So not all of the glad tidings that were there exist, but still there is a sufficient number in the Bible that should be an indication to current day people of the book to follow the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a verse in Deuteronomy, it's verse 18:18. This verse states, "I, God, will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Now this prophecy fits Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like a glove. Exactly. And it fits no one else. The verse starts by saying that I, God, will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, Moses. So Allah is saying that Allah will send a prophet who is like Moses. Now, who was the prophet who resembled Moses the most? Now the Christians claim that this is talking about Jesus. So let's see, who resembles Musa more? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Isa?
We choose to go to the moon and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
One, Moses had parents, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had parents, while Isa had only a mother. So that's the first similarity between Musa and Muhammad, which is not shared by Isa, Jesus alayhi salam. Number two, both Moses and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had children, while Jesus never had any children. Number three, Moses was born in a natural way, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born in a natural way, while Isa alayhi salam was born in a miraculous fashion. He was born without a father. Number four, Musa was accepted by his nation, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accepted by his nation, while Jesus was rejected by his nation. So that's another resemblance. It says in the Bible, he, Jesus, came unto his own, but his own received him not. He was sent to the Jews and the Jews rejected him, while Musa was sent to the Jews and overall they accepted him. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to his people and they accepted him. Number five, Moses and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were kings or rulers. They were rulers on earth, while Isa alayhi salam was not. And when we say rulers, they had the power to inflict capital punishment. We know in our Sharia that only the Sultan can enforce hudud, right? The hudud, which is the capital punishment and the other forms of punishment, cannot be done by a scholar or any Muslim. They have to be done by the Sultan, by the leader, by the ruler. Both Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Musa had that power. For example, with Musa, it says there's an incident when the Jews brought before Musa an Israelite who had been caught collecting firewood on the Sabbath. So Musa had him stoned to death. That's in Numbers 15:36. So Musa did stone a person to death. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did apply punishment when the woman came to him professing adultery. But with Isa alayhi salam, when they brought him a case of a crime, he refused to inflict punishment and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. I'm not a ruler here." And this is in John 18:36. So now we have pointed out five similarities. Number six, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with a new law, the law of Quran. Musa alayhi salam came with a new law, and that's the law of the Torah. While Isa alayhi salam, Jesus came to follow the law of Musa alayhi salam. He says in one verse, "I came to follow the law jot by jot, dot by dot, letter by letter." And he also said in Matthew 5 verse 17 and 18, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one title shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." I came to fulfill the law of Musa alayhi salam. So these are six points of similarity. Number seven. I mean, subhanAllah, the resemblance between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Musa is striking. Musa has led his people in hijrah, in a mass exodus out of Egypt to the Holy Land. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has led his people in hijrah, while Isa alayhi salam has never left his land and never made hijrah. And one of the most important events to us Muslims in the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hijrah. And that's why it's the beginning of our calendar. That's where we start counting history from. So it's a very important event. And to the Jews, the hijrah of Bani Israel out of Egypt is a very important event to them. In fact, many of the celebrations are based on that event. So this is a very important point of similarity between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Musa.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Muhammad, the messenger of God, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "God Most High said, O son of Adam, as long as you call on me and place your hope in me, I forgive you what you have done, no matter how much. Son of Adam, even if your sins pile up to the clouds in the sky, if you then call on me for forgiveness, I will forgive you. Son of Adam, if you come to me with an earth full of sins, yet you meet me without associating anything with me, I will come to you with that much forgiveness." This illustrates the endless mercy of God. In specific, one wisdom drawn from this saying is that when one turns to God alone, not calling on any of the creation, not human beings, not money, not animals, nor planets, nor any other created matter, then God will answer your call, even if you approach him with an earth full of sins. Imagine the size of the earth. If one were to approach God with sins so high that they filled the vastness of the oceans encompassing the earth, crossed its many plains, and over its many mountains, he would still answer that call.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Number seven. Both Musa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam were victorious against their enemies. Moses won against Fir'aun, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam won against the ones who fought him. While Isa has never won in the worldly sense. He has never won in a battle in this world. In fact, the Christians believed that he was killed. This is not a belief that we share with them, but this is where they stand. So that's point number 8. Number 9, Musa alayhi salam died a natural death. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam died a natural death. The Christians believe that Jesus, he was killed, while the Muslims believe that he was elevated. So either way, it was not a natural death. Number 10, both Musa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are buried in the ground, while the Christians believe Jesus was buried and then resurrected, while the Muslims believe he was never buried to start with. Number 11, which is a similarity that we could bring up according to the Christian belief. Most Christians claim that Jesus is God, and the reason why we could use this as an evidence is because they are the ones who are claiming that Jesus is similar to Moses. So we can bring up the point, how do you believe that he is God? And then you say that he's similar to Musa, who was a prophet, while the Muslims say that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet. Resemblance between them, now we're at number 12. When did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam become a prophet? At the age of 40. When did Musa alayhi salam become a prophet? At the age of 40, and that's stated in the Bible. And the Bible states that Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, became a prophet at the age of 30. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Musa were given prophethood at the same age, while Isa alayhi salam was given prophethood at a younger age. Point number 13. Christians claim that Jesus was resurrected after his death. Neither Muslims nor Christians claim that Musa or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resurrected. Therefore Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like Moses, but Jesus is unlike Moses. And we could go on with some further points. I think the point is made that the person who most resembled Moses alayhi salam is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No one came after Musa alayhi salam who resembled him like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by all standards.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala
Now we talked about the similarity between this prophet and Moses, like unto thee. So let's look at other aspects of the prophecy. And now, since we have determined that Isa ibn Maryam, this prophecy does not apply to him, so who does it apply to then? Could it be someone else from among the Jews? Since Musa is giving a prophecy and he's speaking to the Jews, could it be someone other than Jesus? Well, he cannot be a Jew. The person whom this prophecy is talking about cannot be a Jew, because it says in Deuteronomy 34:10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. So this statement makes it clear that there would be no one among Bani Israel, the children of Israel, who is similar to Moses. Again, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. So none of the prophets of Bani Israel is comparable to Moses. So who is it then? Well, the answer is right there in the prophecy. It says, prophet from among their brethren. So in the prophecy, it also excludes the Jews. It says, from among their brethren, the brethren of the Jews. So here we have a prophet from among the brethren of the Jews. And who are the brethren of the Jews? Actually, there's only one nation that fulfills this description, and that is the Arabs. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, and two sons only, Ishaq and Ismail. Ishaq is the father of the Jews, Ismail is the father of the Arabs. Ishaq had Yaqub, and Yaqub is the father of the 12 tribes. So the Jews trace their ancestry to Ishaq, while the Arabs trace their ancestry to Ismail. So this verse is very clear. I mean, it says that here you have a prophet like Moses, and we saw the similarities between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Moses. And he is not a Jew, but he is from among the brethren of the Jews, which are the Arabs. And then the prophecy goes on to say, and will put my words in his mouth. So God is saying that I will put my words in his mouth. In other words, this prophet will not be speaking of his own, but he will be speaking the words which are put in his mouth. And again, this fits exactly on the situation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ.
Muhammad is not speaking from his own. He's not speaking from his own desire. He's speaking the words that are put in his mouth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel is putting the words of Allah in the mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you have in Quran many verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking, I am your Lord. أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. I am your Lord. I am your God. And other verses. And the Quran, all of Quran, is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Now, the Bible is different. Christians claim that the Bible was inspired by God, but the words are the words of men. And they admit that the Bible has many authors, many different authors. And the chapters of the Bible, or the books of the Bible, are named after these authors. So you have John, you have Matthew, you have Luke. So these are the names of the authors of these books. Dr. Graham Scroggie of the Moody Bible Institute, he says in his book, It is Human Yet Divine, he says, yes, the Bible is human, although some out of zeal, which is not according to knowledge, have denied this. Those books have been passed through the minds of men, are written in the language of men, were penned by the hands of men, and bear in their style the characteristics of men. Quran is different. Quran is by Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only the one who was speaking it. But it is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal put in his mouth. The final part of the prophecy states that, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Meaning he will not withhold any information. Everything that he is given, he will speak it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran,
يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, convey everything that you have received, and if you don't do so, then you have not conveyed the message. Meaning if you only withhold one word that was given to you, you have not fulfilled your role. You have not fulfilled your responsibility. So everything that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, he delivered it. Even when it was verses of Quran criticizing an action of his. Like for example in Surah Abasa, when Rasulullah ﷺ was speaking to the noble man from Quraysh and he ignored the blind man Ibn Maktum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ أَن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَىٰ
Words that are criticizing that action of Muhammad ﷺ. And similar can be said about verses of Surah Al-Tahrim.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
O Messenger of Allah, why are you making what is halal haram on yourself in order to please your wives? And one can go on in other examples. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed everything that was given to him. So that's one prophecy. We have another prophecy in Isaiah 29 verses 11 to 18. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm going to read part of it. And you determine what this is talking about. It's quite obvious, straightforward. It doesn't need any interpretation or explanation. It says, And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this. And he says, I am not learned. Quite obvious. The book is delivered to a man who is unlettered, illiterate. And he is told, read. And he responds back by saying, I cannot read. These are the exact words that were given by Jibreel alayhi salam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his first encounter with wahy, with revelation. And we're going to notice here that the Bible is talking about the major events. Pretty much all of the major events that happened in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in the Bible. You have the first revelation. You have Hijrah. You have Ghazwat Badr. It talks about Fath Makkah. These are the major events in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're all in the Bible.
صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.